Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host. Coming up, Nigeria's Electoral Commission sets the date for next year's general elections. We hear from Nigerians living in the diaspora who are not enthusiastic about the elections.
For you to say a Nigerian should have the right to be voted and to vote back at home and not outside, I think it doesn't really correlate so well. It should be implemented both home and abroad.
Lesotho's feuding political parties agreed to hold early elections in a bid to end a two-month political stalemate.
First, they agreed that Parliament is to be reopened on the 17th of October 2014. It should also vigorously prepare for the elections that have been drawn even closer.
These are some of the stories we've lined up for you in this edition of Africa Link, straight from the studios of Deutsche Welle here in Bonn, Germany. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Nigeria's Electoral Commission has set a date for the upcoming general elections. According to a communique issued by the Independent National Electoral Commission, or INEC as it is called, the presidential and National Assembly election will be held on February the 14th, 2015, while governorship and state houses of assembly elections are set for 2 weeks later. For more on that election plan, I spoke to our correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shemang.
To many Nigerians, it is a welcome development. It is what they've been waiting for. 2015 is just around the corner. The drums of politics is just starting. And of course, right now, the coast is clear for every politician to now play his own game, sell himself to Nigerians.
And what has the opposition been saying?
Well, opposition also believes that this is what they've been waiting for, bearing in mind that campaigns have been kind of hindered by INEC, and with this, a definite timetable has been drawn by the Electoral Commission. So the opposition political parties, it's expected that they also begin to do campaigns around the Federation too.
And how prepared is the ruling party to take on the increasing strength of the opposition?
Well, the ruling People's Democratic Party has quickly done what they call adoption of the president. They believe that he has performed very well, and for them to feature someone else to challenge him in the name of primaries will be a disservice to the party. So as far as they are concerned, Goodluck Jonathan is the sole candidate standing and waiting for any other candidate from any other party to contest against him. So they feel he has the credentials, he has performed very well. And of course, there is a group, they call it Transformation Ambassadors. They've been doing some things in favor of Goodluck Jonathan on TV, radio, and newspapers.
Was there any mention of how the elections will be conducted in the northeastern part of the country that is experiencing an insurgency?
No, there's no mention of that because INEC simply said they've released the election timetable. It covers the whole federation. Presidential elections fixed for February 14. Same thing with the National Assembly, talking of the Senate and the House of Representatives. February 28, we're talking of the state elections where we have the governors. And you know, in Nigeria, every state also has a lawmaking body, the parliament, House of Assembly, so to speak. So this has been released by INEC and it covers the entire federation. And Goodluck Jonathan has also been saying that before all these elections, he's hopeful and believing that the insurgency would have been brought to control.
I was speaking to Ben Shemang in Abuja. In Nigeria, only registered citizens within the country have the constitutional right to vote. These laws deny Nigerians living in the diaspora the opportunity to participate in the electoral process. This has raised concerns among a fraternity of citizens who have urged the country's leadership to ensure their participation in general elections. Azizat Sani met with some Nigerians living in Germany and filed this report.
Nigerians' upcoming election will be like no other the country has ever had before. That's because this time around, the ruling PDP, which has been in power since the end of military rule in Nigeria, is facing a stronger opposition. On the other hand, millions of Nigerians are eagerly looking forward to cast their ballot. However, such hopes and enthusiasm in the country cannot be said of the approximately 15 million Nigerians who live in the diaspora. They still do not have the constitutional right to participate in the country's election. Oluwale Osaze Uzi, director at the Independent National Electoral Commission, says,
if 15 million Nigerians should vote, They can spend one way or the other in contesting on the elections. Unless and until we overcome that issue of trust and believe in the system, it might be very difficult to expect Nigerians to accept 50 million votes.
Umaru Aliyu, a Nigerian who has lived and worked in Germany for over 30 years, says Nigerians at home pay little or no attention to the rights of fellow citizens living abroad, especially when it comes to voting rights.
It looks as if Nigerians there at home are fairly reluctant to take the time and find out how do Nigerians feel outside and what are their rights and do they want to vote.
A Nigerian student in Germany, who did not want her name mentioned, believes every Nigerian, whether in or out of the country, should have the right to elect or be elected.
For you to say a Nigerian should have the right to be voted and to vote back at home and not outside, I think it doesn't really correlate so well. It should be implemented both home and abroad.
That may happen soon, as Ayugu Eze, a Nigerian lawmaker, explains the process of amending the constitution to guarantee the rights of Nigerians in the diaspora to vote is ongoing.
We are already looking at the electoral law and then the constitution empowering INEC to make preparations for electronic voting and for exit polls when they are ready to do so. But right now, we don't believe that the technology they have installed in place will have the capacity to monitor votes coming from outside, and that could be abused or infiltrated.
That report was compiled by Azat Sani, and you're still listening to Africa Link straight from the studios of Deutsche Welle in Bonn. There is much more to come after this.
Africa Link. Because Africa is more than just a headline.
Lesotho's feuding political parties have agreed to hold early elections by February in a bid to exit a crisis that has seen a coup attempt and running battles among the security forces. South African Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, who mediated talks between the two sides, announced that the national general elections will be held towards the end of February 2015. The agreement will see Parliament reconvene on October 17th after being shattered by Prime Minister Tom Tabane in June as he looked poised to lose a no-confidence vote. For more on these talks, I spoke to our correspondent in Johannesburg, Tuzo Kumalo, who has been monitoring the situation in Lesotho.
Yes, indeed, SADC facilitation team finally came out with an agreement between the parties that are involved in Lesotho to try and end the political unrest that we saw there that led to a coup. And there are key things that they agreed on. First, they agreed that Parliament is to be reopened on the 17th of October 2014. As we know that the Prime Minister has suspended the Parliament in June. It should also vigorously prepare for the elections that have been drawn even closer. And Parliament has been ordered not to discuss the vote of no confidence on the Prime Minister, which was the key reason why the Prime Minister suspended the Parliament. But it has been given a mandate to prepare for the elections and decide on budget issues and other urgent issues. Also to note in the agreement is that elections are to be held before the end of February 2015. Remember, they have been initially sent for 2017, but they've been brought forward as a solution to try and end the impasse that is there within the coalition government in Lesotho. Also, Parliament is to be dissolved in December this year to try and also prepare for those elections. It is also key in this agreement to note that all parties have agreed to respect the agreement, and the army and the police have been warned by SADC not to resolve their issues by conflicting. As we saw last week, there was a clash between the army and the police, and SADC says that should stop, that should be the last thing. Everybody should focus now to the elections to try and resolve the problems that are there. And lastly, the SADC mission that was sent there to facilitate this agreement and to facilitate the resolution of the crisis, it will remain in Lesotho to monitor and make sure everybody adheres to this agreement until after elections.
Are there guarantees that all parties will abide by this agreement?
As it looks right now, there is no party in Lesotho that wants to be against SADC. Remember, Lesotho is part of the 15-nation regional organization. So everyone who takes power there wants to make sure he has the buying in of SADC. And remember, this agreement also was done after extensive discussions and between all parties. And so all parties seem to be comfortable with what has been agreed. The Prime Minister is protected from the vote of no confidence, and Metsing, who was alleged to be causing the coup, there was no action taken. So everybody wants to move forward in this this agreement. And remember also, the SADC monitoring team remains on the ground in Lesotho to monitor and make sure that everybody adheres to this agreement. However, there's still the question of the military. SADC has to move very quickly to try and make sure the police and the army are apolitical, they protect the people, they don't side with any political party. In so doing, then they can achieve a fruitful election and we can see one democratic government ruling Lesotho after February.
I was speaking to Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg. Now, a polio vaccination campaign that was underway in Ghana ended with over 500,000 children getting the much-needed vaccine. According to the World Health Organization, 10% of the physical challenges among Ghanaians are as a result of having suffered from polio. However, for the past 10 years, no domestic case has been found in the country due to measures put in place to eradicate the virus. Maxwell Sook has been following the process and now reports.
When Hamza Abdullahi was 2 years old, he contracted poliomyelitis, the virus which causes crippling among children. Now he limps. Without his crutches and paraplegic aid, Hamza would not be able to walk. I met him as he stepped down from the paraplegic aid to enter the Resource Center for People with Disabilities in Tamale. The 24-year-old cobbler recalls what his grandmother told him about his paralysis.
What my grandmother told me is that I was just 2 years old when the sickness caught me. They said my body temperature was rising and a drug peddler came to sell his medicines in our house. So when they showed me to him, he injected me, and that's how my legs got paralyzed.
The polio virus became an epidemic in Ghana in the early 1980s. And not just there. According to the Ministry of Health, about 2.5 billion children were affected worldwide, reason enough for Ghana's government to roll out the immunization program, which takes place simultaneously twice every year in Ghana. During this period, the Health Ministry contracts specialized teams that visit households across the country and vaccinate children under five. The first round of mass vaccination exercise has just ended, and approximately 500,000 infants were targeted. But vaccines are always available in hospitals and health centers for those who want them. I am at one of the centers in Tamale, and a nurse had just dropped the vaccines into the mouth of a four-month-old boy. The nurse marked his finger with an indelible ink to indicate that the child has received the vaccines. The mother of the child, Faustina Abachin, is happy that her baby is now vaccinated.
The polio is part of the vascular disease. And as a concerned parent, I have to take him for the vaccination because, as the saying goes, that prevention is better than cure.
The last domestic polio case was reported in Ghana in 2001. In 2009, the country recorded an imported case suspected to have come from northern Nigeria, the only country in West Africa still battling with the virus. Ghana has taken strong measures to eliminate polio from the country for the past decades and has since made significant gains so far. As much as 5 billion disabilities have been prevented since the country signed into the Global Eradication Initiative in 1988, according to the Ghana Health Service. The Deputy Northern Regional Director in charge of public health, Dr. Jacob Mahama, said it was a tough journey to get to this point in the fight against polio.
It's quite tough. It's considering the fact that we need to comb the whole country. It's in northern region, when it's very hot, you see volunteers who carrying these ice packs and vaccine carriers going up and down, covering large distances only to meet a small number of children. It's quite difficult.
But there are remote communities in Ghana where services like this do not reach the people living there.
Maxwell Sook reporting. And I'll be back for the headlines. But first, let's listen to another episode of our Learning by Ear drama series.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. Welcome back to our radio drama Crossroads Generation.
It's turning up. crossroads. We're looking for a way. Crossroads generation. Our future stands today.
We are already on the 24th episode of this second season. Last time, Mercy's mother Lulu was surprised by a group of girls from the local youth center. They were led by Anita, a peer counselor and exchange student from Laboria. And they had some good advice for Lulu.
Just imagine, Mama Mercy, if you had your own little business.
Oh, of course, that would be wonderful. But it's impossible.
What if you brought vegetables from upcountry and sold them here in the city?
Some time has passed since that conversation. So let's find out whether Lulu's plan has worked out. And what about Mercy's father, Msoto? The last we heard of him, he was still being held at the police station. He was accused of robbing the Jumbes, the wealthy family of Mercy's classmate Nikki. But Msoto is innocent. Local politician Mukaraba was the one behind all that.
Well, here's the money, officer. Now, you make absolutely sure that Msoto rots in the cells forever and nobody ever finds out I framed him for the robbery.
I assure you, Msoto won't be getting out for a very long time.
Today's episode is called A Twist in the Tale, and it starts with Msoto, who's finally about to leave the police station.
Have you confirmed that all your property is in that bag, Mr. Msoto?
I'm missing my watch, Inspector Mary.
Officer?
Yes, Madam Inspector?
This man's watch is missing. Do you know anything about it?
No, Madam. Officer Mnene was the one in charge of this case.
Him again? Isn't it enough that he falsely accused Msoto of robbery? If those two gangsters hadn't given themselves up, nobody would ever have known about the arrangement former Officer Mnene had with Councillor Mkaraba. I've had enough of his corruption. Officer?
Yes?
Find Mnene and bring him here.
But, Madam, Officer Mnene left the police station before you even fired him. We don't know where he is.
You're a policeman, aren't you?
Yes, Madam.
Your job is to find and arrest criminals. Officer Mnene is facing corruption charges, so go find him now.
Yes, Madam.
Police officers are supposed to serve and protect the citizens, not intimidate them and steal from them. Mr. Msoto,
yes.
On behalf of the entire police department, I can only apologize that you were falsely imprisoned for robbery with violence. A crime the arresting officer knew perfectly well you didn't commit. Please sign here.
Okay. Here you are, Madam Inspector.
Mr. Msoto, you're free to go now.
Thank you, Inspector Mary.
But remember, there are some very important conditions. Mm-hmm. You have admitted that you sold your own child to Mr. Mukaraba. And for that, you will have to be punished. You will report to the police station every day from now on, Msoto.
Okay.
We'll let you know when your case will be heard.
Yes, Inspector Mary.
And you're not to go within 100 feet of your wife's house. She has asked us to inform you that she does not wish to see you. You can see your children once a month, but you're not allowed to live with her or with them. Understood?
Yes, madam.
All right, then. You're free to go.
Okay.
Jumbe, my husband. Is it really today that they're releasing Msoto?
That's what I was told.
I feel so guilty that we sent an innocent man to jail. All this time, we were so convinced that he was responsible for the robbery at our house.
Your boyfriend is the one to blame for all this.
What do you mean, my boyfriend? Jumbe, after all these years of being married to me, you still can't get past the fact that I was once engaged to Mukaraba?
I'm sure he organized the robbery just to get back at me. Why else would he do it?
That's ridiculous. I don't understand it either. But do you seriously think it's because of something that happened so long ago?
I can't think of any other reason. He still blames me for asking you to marry me even though I knew he was in love with you. And yet he seemed so happy lately, busy with politics and his little girl.
Oh, look. There's Msoto. Oh, God. He looks so thin. Hey, Msoto, over here.
Oh, great, Mr. and Mrs. Jumbe. What do you want from me? Are you sending me back to the cells again?
Soto, we wanted to say that we are truly sorry for what happened. The police told us about the two robbers who gave themselves up. We now know that Mkaraba was behind this and that you had nothing to do with it.
If there's anything we can do for you to show you how sorry we are, anything really.
I need a place to stay.
eat, Banda. The doctor says you have to regain your strength. You're still recovering from TB, remember?
Yes, Mama.
You too, Mercy. A pregnant mother needs to eat.
Mom, ever since you opened that vegetable stall, all we eat is meat.
Have you already forgotten how we used to eat green kale and sugarless porridge all the time because we didn't have any money? Now you're complaining about too much meat?
Well, you could buy fish for a change. It contains a lot of nutrients that are very important for the development of the body.
Oh, Mercy, you and your books. I'm sure you're right, but I think meat is good. And you know, your brothers love meat. Look at Banda here.
Yes, I love it.
And Kadu, our little businessman, he will gobble it up as soon as he gets home.
Where is Kadu, by the way? Did he go up country with Mozi again?
Yes, he really enjoys supervising the vegetables they bring from my parents' garden.
That's nice. But you know, Mom, I think Kadu and Banda should go to school.
Not everyone can get a scholarship like you, Mercy. I'm saving some money. Maybe next year they can go.
They're releasing Dad from the police station today. Maybe he'll get a job and then, with both your incomes, you'll be able to pay for their schooling.
Don't talk to me about Msoto.
But he's our dad.
Mercy, your father is not coming back to this house.
But Mom...
Forget it, Mercy. We've talked about this before. I'd never have thought it, but I can take care of my family all by myself now.
Hello? This is Mkaraba speaking.
Hello. This is Jumbe.
Oh, Jumbe. To what do I owe the pleasure? It's a long time since I heard from you.
Cut the crap, Mkaraba. Guess who I met this afternoon?
Who?
Msoto. I know everything.
What the hell are you talking about, Jumbe? Can't you speak plainly? I don't have much time. Some of us have jobs to do.
You mean you have other robberies to organize? Framing innocent watchmen like Msoto? After all these years, you're still so angry with me for marrying Janet.
Do you really think I'd get my hands dirty just because of that old story? Well, but since you've brought it up again, you knew she was my girlfriend. But did that stop you from marrying her? No. You were my best friend back then, Jumbe.
Janet was an adult. It was her decision, so my advice to you is to respect that and move on, Mkaraba. You hear me?
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is not over, Jumbe.
Mkaraba, the police are on their way to pick you up as we speak.
I wouldn't be too sure about that.
Oh, did I mention that your friend Officer Munene has been fired?
What? Well, he's not my only friend. If you know what I mean.
Have a nice life, Mkaraba. I hope you enjoy it. In prison.
Say hi to Janet for me.
Ah.
What a turn of events. So it seems Mkaraba and Jumbe are old school friends, and they've been fighting over a girl, just like the Jumbe's son Nikki fought with his classmate Dan over Mercy. To find out how the story continues for them and what happens to Mercy and her family, be sure to tune in next time. And don't forget to go online to watch Anita's latest video diary. You'll find it on dw.de/LBE. You can also follow us on Facebook. Until next time, take care.
And before we leave you, here's a reminder of the stories that we've covered for you. Nigeria's Electoral Commission sets the date for next year's general elections. Lesotho's feuding political parties have agreed to hold early elections by February in a bid to exit a crisis that has seen a coup attempt and running battles among the security forces. Polio vaccination campaign ended in Ghana with over 500,000 children getting that much needed vaccine. And with that, we come to the end of this program. For comments and suggestions, as usual, send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a letter to Africa Link, DW53110, Bonn, Germany, or an SMS can also work to country code 49160957595 10. Africa Link returns tomorrow, and I'm Isaac Mugabe saying take care.